Welcome to Drivers, Sports and Leisure Research Group's podcast highlighting the latest trends in the golf industry and the individuals setting them. I'm David Klein, along with John Last, and we've really been looking forward to this episode because it's not every day that an iconic golf destination undergoes a significant renovation. But that's exactly what our guests have been overseeing since last January. Today, we're joined by the Chief Marketing Officer of a revered international golf resort that has been restored to its rightful place, and its retired and legendary Director of Golf Operations, who's seen it all through an illustrious career of his own. John, who do we have joining us on the first tee today?
Well, thanks, David. Our guests today bridge a 40-plus year history at arguably the most revered golf resort in the Caribbean. As a student of golf course architecture, I still remember being captivated by the unspoiled oceanfront setting of Pete Dye's Teeth of the Dog course at the Casa de Campo Resort in the Dominican Republic. In fact, I think when I first discovered it was called Cahuilles, and I was always trying to make sure that was the same course that became Teeth of the Dog. I finally got to play it actually late last year, and I think it was appropriate that I chopped it up because since that memorable December round, the course has been undergoing a pretty major renovation towards a grand reopening scheduled just a couple months away later this year. And Gilles Gagnon has been the driving force behind so much of the history of the resort. Jason Kiechek has been stewarding its rebirth over recent years. And gentlemen, it's great to have both of you on Drivers. I want to start with you, Gilles, and you've had so much great experiences over the years. Tell us a little bit about the history of the resort, as well as some of the really fascinating stories you've collected over the years as Casa de Campo has risen to prominence and the course was originally developed.
Well, thank you for having both of us, obviously. And yeah, I got here in 1980. I came out of I was coaching hockey at the time at Colgate University, and I was the golf professional there, and got an opportunity to come down in 1980. And I arrived here. We had Teeth of the Dog and Links. And it's funny you mentioned Cahuilles, because originally the Teeth was called Cahuilles One and the Links was called Cahuilles Two, until Pete was walking on the ocean close to the shore, and he stepped on some rocks, and the local people said, "Cuidado, ese diente de perro." You know, that's teeth of the rock formation is like teeth of the dog. And Pete, you know, the way he was, he just turned around and said, "Get a new name. It is Teeth of the Dog." That was how the Teeth of the Dog name came about. But yeah, I got here, and to be honest with you, there was not a whole lot of action. Pete absolutely loved the place, you know, and he was here quite a bit, and I walked with him a lot, and we talked a lot about golf and you know, what he wanted to do. And he obviously, as a golf pro, he asked me once if I was in the greens committee at Colgate, and he said, "Well, obviously you don't know anything." So that was his line. But so eventually, you know, we got fairly busy, and you know, the ownership decided to that went from at the time from Golf and Western to the Van Hool family, who bought the resort now. And they you know, at the time, we started growing a little faster, and they decided to build La Romana Country Club. So we built La Romana Country Club, and then we got a little busier. The homes were getting, it was about 150 homes when I got here, and I think now we're about 2,500. And in 2003, we built I-4. And that was a great experience to walk with him. You know, I always walk with him, and I could never see anything, to be honest with you. My imagination was very limited. And I asked him one time, I said, "Pete, what, you know, why do you have me walking? I can't see anything." He said, "Well, I understand that." He said, "The only thing I want is if I fall down, I want you to pick me up and make sure you take some good notes as we're walking along." But you know, we started a lot of events. You know, the Casa de Campo Open was started when I first got here. We started, you know, I needed to create some events. And you know, we start having so many people here that come over. You know, over my career now, I've played with you know, with both President Bush, and I played with Clinton, and you know, Sean Connery was here, and we've had so many, you know, great people that come here. And you know, the Teeth of the Dog is very special. It was the first golf course actually that had seven holes on the ocean. There was never, you know, you could check everywhere, and that was by far, that was the only one at the time. And Pete always, you know, liked to mess around with it, change this, change that all the time. And gradually he made it a little easier. You know, it started to make it a little easier all the time. And eventually now, when we decide to go ahead and do the renovation, you know, we looked at the old pictures and a lot of the stuff that I remember. And we start adding some tees that had been gone. The greens got a little smaller, the bunker. So it was really, it was due to do that. We were ready to do that. And fortunately, we have great ownership. And also Jason being who he is as the marketer, you start packing a place. I mean, he's done an amazing job in the last 7 years. It's been, I'm 76, and every time I'm thinking maybe it's time for me to get out, but he keeps pulling me in, and I enjoy working with him. And it's an amazing place how much it's grown, how many homes have been built. And Pete, as you know, Pete is his ashes are on the teeth of the dog. He wrote that book, Bury Me in the Pot Bunker. Well, PB, his son and his wife, my wife, and Herb Kohler and his wife, we during COVID, we made a little special place on the teeth of the dog, and that's where Pete wanted to be. So that tells you how much he loved this place.
Fascinating. It's really special, again, having experienced it myself, to just sense not only that history, but also how things are being modernized. And obviously, Jason, you played a large role in that, coming on board 7 years ago and transforming the resort, modernizing amenities. I know the whole beach complex was redone, and really enjoyed spending some time there as well. Sales have been through the roof, but I want to step back and talk a little bit about some of the strategic decisions that you've had to make and the impetus behind them, and what you've done to really create and promote a unique property, as well as how you got to that place to decide to kind of shut down Teeth for a little bit, and how that factors into the overall master plan to bring it back to where it's going to be.
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, it's been quite a ride here so far, and it's actually been almost 9 years since I've been with the company. And when I first arrived, one of the first guys I wanted to meet with was Senor Gagnon on the show right now with me. He is a very, very humble individual, but he has done a remarkable job here over the years, and is a legend. In my mind, and for a lot of people around here as well. I mean, you're 4+ years, and really the backbone of establishing Casa de Campo as a golfer's paradise here, and everything he built and done. He just didn't have the support that he needed, and so when I arrived, that was the first thing I did. Sat down with him and said, "I don't want you going anywhere. I want you to stay on board working with us." And I'm glad he has. He's a huge ambassador, an asset to the company, to the golf, and everything we've been doing has really been built around what he already established. So we first focused on getting the golf going again, or getting it moving again. You have these incredible courses here, and that was our top priority. We just focused getting the golfers here, and sounds like an easy task to do. Thankfully, we have an incredible property that sells itself, but you have to get people here first. So we really set about and putting together the right strategic plan to make that happen. And as you've been here, and that's what I always tell our whole sales team and everybody I talk to, you just got to come here once, and you'll never want to go anywhere else again. And you just get it. You fall in love with the place. As Jill said, and I often say too, it's just a special place. We're not your typical, golf resort in the Caribbean or golf resort anywhere. You're part of the Casa de Campo community. It is its own little city that happens to have a resort. And once you're here, you have this beautiful playground. You get around in a golf cart in 5 minutes, you can be just about in any place on the property, and in a diverse set of activities. We focused on the golf at first, and the other key thing too, again, it comes to just different management styles and everything. But this is a huge property, and there's a lot of different moving parts, a lot of areas that have a lot of expenses to maintain, like our equestrian center. We have 200 horses we have to feed and take care of, and we have a shooting center that we raise our own birds, and the feed we have to feed the birds is quite expensive, and all these little things that add up, but they're all losing revenue centers, and so we had to really pay attention to the whole machine, not just golf. But it started with golf, and so our main focus was really to pivot the entire strategy that it had, I guess, that had been put in place in the past. And we started focusing on groups. We're a group, as I say, a group hotel first, a group resort first. And groups being golf groups, wedding groups, and the meetings and incentive groups. It's a tremendous destination for all three of those in particular. And so we quickly, within a year, turned the property around by shifting from being a more leisure transient focused to being group first, and then growing the leisure on top of it, because it is a, as you know, a great place for families and couples. Just about anybody who comes here can enjoy the place.
And obviously, with so many different moving parts, as you said, to manage. I mean, I was always taken aback by the variance in areas. I mean, you've got literally
Yeah.
a replica medieval city in one part, and you got a beautiful harbor in another part. And I did do the horseback riding as well. There's just so many different things to do, but at the same time, there is that golf heritage, and I think a lot of people come down thinking to play Teeth of the Dog. Let's get into the process. I mean, tactically, what was it that kind of created the impetus to say, let's do what we need to do to really restore the golf course? And how do you kind of go about handling that both from a logistical challenge and a marketing challenge?
Well, I think that has come about over the years. From what I've been told since I've been here, that the ownership has been talking about having to do this on the course for years, and just for whatever reason, the can just kept getting kicked down the road. But they finally reached a point that I think our ownership, who've been extremely supportive of all of the investment we're making in the property and continue to take the property to another level, just realized they could, when they had to do it at some point. And I think they just said, this is the year we're going to do it. And after a couple years of having to prepare for it, to close it down completely, we finally got to that point. As I've gone out, and I'm, to a lot of people's surprise, as Jill's knows, I'm not a golfer. I play, but it's not, I'm not as avid of a golfer as Jill's and the rest of the guys. But when you get out there on this course now to see what they're doing to it, I get goosebumps. It's just something special about this, well, the property, but the course, what they're doing to it. You just see that, you feel the energy and the magic that these guys are doing to the course. It's going to take it to a whole nother level. It's that feeling, I guess, people say when you first see, you go to Pebble Beach and see the course. It's just something special about it. So we got to the point where we just needed to do this to the course, and thankfully we were able to, have Jerry Pate oversee the project, and of course, Jill's and the rest of the team has been involved in it as well. And so now, from a marketing standpoint, I tell our team and our well, actually our whole company, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. We're not going to, to do something of this extent to a course of a masterpiece like Teeth of the Dog. And so it's a very humbling experience to be involved in a project of this level and of this grandeur, as a once in a lifetime opportunity. So we take it very serious of how we're positioning and what we're going to be doing and relaunching it, and the ribbon cutting, and a lot of exciting events planned for the year ahead, which hopefully you'll able to join us for some yourself.
That'd be great. Just like you said, a rebirth is something really special.
Yeah, especially on a course like this. There's a lot of Pete and I aficionados out there, and I just say, for me, it's for people who are avid golfers, and this is their passion. It's like they really get, I don't want to say upset, but nervous about what we're doing to the course. I have so many guys telling me, "Hey, you're not changing anything, right? Or what are you doing to it?" And I, always have to calmly explain to them, "No, we're, maintaining Pete Dye's the integrity of the course. Jerry's overseeing it all, and he's, with Jill's too. These guys work very closely with Pete their whole his whole life. So if anything, they're improving the masterpiece."
Gilles, as you look back on your career and the evolution of the resort, what stands out to you as you see today's Casa de Campo relative to what you first encountered some 40 years ago?
Well, what's amazing is that obviously, like I was saying, when I got here, it was a really tough destination to get to. I mean, now that's the thing to do. You go to all these places, Sand Hills, Sand Valley, and But so it was difficult to get here, obviously, and we had a, you had to be a real golf nut to come here at the time. And then eventually, the airport, we got new airports and things started to grow. But I think the change that I've seen is that what happened now is that when you get people here, after I could get people here originally, like Jason was saying, they keep coming back year after year. We have one pro-am, and then we have two, and we have three, and it's amazing. I've been at some meetings where people ask me, oh, when we discuss what's your repeat business, I'd say, well, for me in the golf, it's about 80%. They go, it's impossible. Well, it is possible because that's what we do. That's what I do with the the golf business. But we've been nice, obviously the last 8 years, the ownership and Jason have been willing to spend some money. And the teeth of the dog was really getting tired. The bunkers had settled down, the green had got smaller. We got hit in 1998 by George, a hurricane, which wiped out a lot of stuff that we kind of put back together. And like I said, Pete was trying to make it easier because it got to a point where everybody want, they didn't want too much of a challenge. In the old days, the harder course was better. And then eventually we kind of worked up where we wanted everybody to play and not lose 20 golf balls. But teeth of the dog, you go back and you can play the best, you could be the best in the world, and then you could be a not a very good golfer, and you move up and you have the challenge from different position. Alice Dye did an amazing putting tees out there that we've put back and stuff where the women can play. And if I hit a driver and a 7 iron from where the tee I'm supposed to play, well, my wife can hit a driver and a 7 iron from the tee she's playing. So I think that's been the growth of good people coming in, promoting it properly, new airports, new highway to get here. And obviously with all the communication, like a podcast that we're doing with you right now, I think the word got out. And it's just amazing. The growth for me is I never believe in my life that if you told me that there was a lot many years ago, I could have bought on the ocean for about $40,000, and now it's probably 10 million bucks now. So that if you want to know the difference, this little villa that we're 75 grand are selling for 1.4 million right now. So that's the story right there.
I do remember that. I remember seeing a couple of yachts in the harbor that were probably 10 times the price of that first lot as well. I want to, in closing, talk a little bit more about the macro picture. And Jules, you mentioned something really interesting that I'd love Jason to reflect on. And that was all about how golf today has become so much more about democratization and creating an experience that people can enjoy regardless of their skill level. We've actually been fortunate enough to be involved in a lot of that research for some of the governing bodies. But it also, it filters down to what the unique challenges are for marketing resorts and real estate resort offerings in tandem as the industry evolves. And I'd love to get your perspective, Jason. You've certainly been involved with a number of different organizations that see that macro picture. What do developers and operators need to pay particular attention to, now and into the future that they weren't necessarily focusing on a decade ago?
Yeah, well, I think a big area we've improved, and I think has been part of our success is here, is community focus. Paying attention to your homeowners, your community, and that's something. This is a great community here that Casa de Campo has, but. One of the things I first noticed when I came here was nobody's really doing anything for the community. There were no get-togethers or events on the weekends or things to really pull the community together. We had the country club, but the majority of the homeowners don't belong to the country club. So I think one of the things that has worked for us, but I think it's something that does get overlooked at a lot of for developers, is paying attention to your community. People move to a community to be a part of the community, and they want to get to know their neighbors. They want to get to know other members in their community. So I think that's been a key thing for us. That is, and we continue to do more and more events. I try to have something going on here every weekend for not only the community but for the resort guests as well too. So I think that to start off, that'd be one thing. The other thing, obviously, that we all know is a big buzzword is sustainability. A lot of communities are asking about, hey, what are your sustainability programs? Are you doing not only with, I guess, sanitation, but also from an agricultural standpoint? Do you Are you growing some of your own fruits and vegetables that you're using in the garden or in your kitchens? And what else are you doing, especially when you're dealing with lots of outdoor space for bug control? And what products are you using? And the pesticides are you using? Are they organic or whatnot? So I think sustainability in all realms with solar and wind and is also very key to keep in mind. Security also, I think, is for us has always been a big factor for Casa de Campo. It's incredibly a secure community, but I think for homeowners, a lot of the new ones I meet and speak with, I mean, you get to know them or ask them why, how they decided to buy a home here versus somewhere else or wherever. Most of the people, this is their second, third, fourth home that they have here. One of the key things they always tell me is security. They want to feel safe. For their family and themselves, wherever they might reside. So I definitely wouldn't overlook security and then ease of getting into and out of. That's another big asset we have. Our company, we have our own airport. 5 minutes, you land and you're in your own home or you're in the property. Our own marina, it's the largest marina in the Caribbean. So a lot of people can come in here on their yachts, their planes, or even our helicopter with our helipad. So I think, and then just one other thing, I think it's just get back to good providing just good customer service, and we focus on that a lot, always room for improvement. But homeowners pay a lot of money to live in any community. And they want to, be made to feel not only special, but also just have good service. And I think a lot of companies, unfortunately, don't get back to base or need to get back to basics. And they're not doing a very good job of it from what I see and hear in the industry. So I guess those are kind of the four or five key tenets I see is important for developers, new communities, or just any older community like ours has been. It's our 50th anniversary this year, so we've been around a little while, and just infusing those key tenets within that we're doing the resort into the community as well.
It all comes down to the execution
Yep.
and the operative word being community, both figuratively and literally. And that's something
Yeah.
that it was very evident when I was down there, and I'm sure it's going to be even more evident with the reopening of teeth. I thank you both for being a part of the show. I'm excited to see what how things manifest. You talk about special events. It certainly lends itself to that. I still am enamored by what you've done with this Alta de Chavón. For those who are listening, it's like I said, it's this medieval village, and you had like this Coliseum where there was like a big concert one of the nights that we were down there, and it was just incredible. So yeah,
Great.
good luck
We'll
with
come
that.
back for our next concert, John. We have our next concert November 1st coming up here. So
We
we've
will have
got
to find a way to do that or something nearby for that. But really great to have you on. And Jules, thanks for sharing some of the history with that. I'm sure it must be fascinating to see how things have transformed over the years, and exciting times. So thank you
John,
all.
I was just going to say you could have Jills on for 10 hours. He's got so many incredible stories he could tell you that you'd have your audience mesmerized.
We will have to think about that. We were always looking for good new content. So we didn't get to talk hockey, but that's a different podcast.
Well,
Thank you.
thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys, and thank you all for
Thank
listening.
you. All the
Yeah,
best.
you bet.
Thanks.
Take
Bless.
care.